It's got some color, Mike.
Yes, I do. I'm in Cuba.
Good. All right, it is 6 o'clock p.m. I call the Wednesday, July 10th, 2019, Kenosha County Planning, Development, and Extension Education Committee meeting to order. Agenda item number one, certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
Yes, on July 2nd.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item number two, feature program, stress management and self-care curriculum. Oh, I guess so. Well, it's not on the agenda, but yes. I get the best, I guess, do you want to, everyone want to introduce themselves to her? Because you won't, we know you won't remember, like, you'll remember two people, so it's okay.
Well, welcome, Casey. It's great to have you here. I'm Bev Baker. I'm the Area Extension Director for Racine County and Kenosha County.
Hi, I'm Mary Batten. I'm the Health and Wellbeing Educator here in Kenosha County.
Christine Wasilewski, Committee Economic Development Educator for Racine and Kenosha.
Lee Presley, I'm the Agriculture Educator. I work both in Kenosha and Racine County.
Hello, Terry Ward. I'm the Administrator for the FoodWise program, also in both counties.
Zach Rodriguez, County Board District 1.
Mark Arden, County Board District
21. And I'm Aaron Decker, County Board Supervisor District 20.
John Gould, County Board Supervisor District 20.
I should have said.
Neither
of me.
Mike Stoltz, District 19.
Are you her? Okay.
I'm her mentor.
I couldn't remember who was whose.
And she's my mentee. I don't know where my other mentee is.
He is
at college business.
Yes.
You say at what?
College business.
I thought he was in high school.
That's what you do that.
Okay. That'll work.
And you got to introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Casey Cochran.
Where do you go to school?
I go to Christian Life School in Kenosha. So.
Do you live in the city or do you live in the boonies?
I live in Salem.
Okay, boonies.
Luke,
yeah.
That's
booties
enough.
Heading west of 31. 94
City
boy, through and through, proud of it.
What are all those big things on that road? They're called trucks.
Yes, I drive a truck. So.
Which truck is yours? The blue one that I was behind?
Yeah.
That is missing half its bumper? Shame on you. What grade are you in?
Welcome.
Yes. All right. Now,
here we
are.
I'm happy.
Okay. All right. Now that Mark's happy, we can move on. Agenda item number two, feature program, stress management, and self-care curriculum.
Yes. So today, we will be learning a little bit and experiencing some of the content.
We did the lights.
It's either all or nothing,
absolutely.
I think, right?
Take care of you.
At the very end, I probably will hit the lights because it will help with the way that we'll end things. No, not at all.
Well, BJ was doing articles on poison ivy. Hopefully it's not that.
Right.
Either, right?
No, these are the good leaves.
John, have you ever seen marijuana?
Yeah.
So, taking care of you is something that within Wisconsin's extension has been brought on in the last couple of years, and educators throughout the state have been trained to be able to utilize the curriculum in the community. It originally came from the University of Missouri Extension. That's where it was developed with research and backing with the specialists and educators there. There were some tweaks made within the bringing it to Wisconsin, and I was able to go to a train the trainer in the fall and have been able to start utilizing it in Kenosha County since then. So I'll talk a little bit about that as well. So.
Is it actually used for Missouri? Show me? This is the show me state.
Oh, okay.
John's joke is funnier.
So some general elements regarding the workshop is it is a total of 8 contact hours, and the nice thing about this is that it's very flexible in usage. Sometimes there are workshops and curriculums and trainings that are pretty strict regarding seat time and people being there start to finish, that's definitely ideal, but it's not a necessity for this, which I think is really helpful, especially when you're working within the community, and sometimes some of the community members that we'd be working with within agencies or other organizations might have difficulty being able to commit and attend all four sessions. Another nice thing about this is it is designed in four sessions of 2 hours each, but there is, again, flexibility to be able to break it apart into different hour formats. So I recently completed the series with the staff at the ELCA Outreach Center, and they needed to be able to do it 1 hour at a time because this was before the center opened, before the clients were there, and it just worked better to be able to stretch it out over more weeks and do it 1 hour per week. So it's very flexible in that respect. It also can be where you structure it so that the content is what it is. So if a person can only drop into one session and then they miss a week and come back, that is definitely doable. Or even if there is an entity or group that really can only commit to 2 hours total, then it's really more looking at kind of chopping it up to be able to make the best use of the time that's allotted and still give them usable content. It is designed for adults of any age, so it isn't exclusive to younger folks or older folks or anything like that. It's definitely good, practical, useful, hands-on tools that can be used and taught for all age groups. It's comprised of discussion, experiential exercise, and mini lectures. So it isn't just me or other people talking at them for those 8 hours. There's a lot of discussion. There are hands-on activities that help to transfer the knowledge so that you can take it with you and be able to use it within the weeks and hopefully months to come to start to build some of those practice skills. And it integrates research-based principles and techniques. So a lot of the concepts and strategies within the curriculum are from evidence-based, mindfulness-based stress reduction programs, and that is included, and it was also adapted for more of a community-based setting. There has been success found in rural and urban areas, definitely throughout the state of Wisconsin. It has been used in a lot of the different counties that have the split, kind of like we do, with some urban, suburban, and rural, and also counties that are very rural and everything in between. And that it is not designed as a therapy program. So it is definitely useful information for people that might be utilizing therapy services or have other mental health struggles or things that they have been working on. There are things in here that definitely can be enhanced with treatment that is happening, but it's not designed to be any type of group therapy or anything of that realm, which I think is helpful just because it makes it accessible for anybody when you're thinking about insurance and costs and even stigma and different things that people struggle with in regards to mental illness or mental health. This is something that can be utilized by anyone and everyone. It's not exclusive to folks that have struggles with mental health or anything like that. And kind of adding to that, I found this, which I think speaks a lot to just all of us. So it says, according to the latest research, the average human body is 20% water and 80% stress. So when we think about all of our lives, we have different levels, varying degrees, and types of stress. It's hard, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone that says that they don't have stress. We live in a stressful world, all of our lives are busy. Stress manifests in all different ways depending on who you are. So this type of thing that is a very broad base of knowledge, it is where some things you'll take, some things you'll leave. Not everything is for everyone. It's not prescriptive, but there's definitely things that you can find that will be usable to help stress reduction in different facets of your life. So within the overall program objectives, when we're looking at this, there are six things that I wanted to highlight. So the first thing is increasing awareness of how stress affects body, thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. That's definitely a theme that is throughout, And even in the little portion of content that we'll go through, that will be highlighted. And it's helping people become more aware about it, of what it is, how it all interconnects with each other, and then how it manifests in your life on a day-to-day basis. Learn how to manage how you respond to stress with thought, emotion, and behavior. So it's starting to get clued in to how stress presents in you individually, just because it is different for everyone. Everyone has those different patterns. So it's being able to not necessarily tell you that you're doing it wrong, but help you figure out what it looks like for you as an individual, and then bring in more elements of how then you can respond as opposed to just reacting in those stressful situations. Cultivate positive emotions to improve resiliency, which I think is important for any adult and even children, to have the resiliency to work through struggles, work through stressful situations, and be able to use that information and that past and kind of move beyond it and better yourself from it. And nurture yourself to improve the health of the body, mind, and spirit, which is definitely throughout all of the content, is kind of those inner layers of yourself and being able to find ways to enhance those. Learning from and finding opportunity in life's challenges. So there's a whole segment within the session 3 where we kind of dissect and talk about a process called recasting, where it's really looking at kind of stressful and, for lack of a better word, you know, crappy situations, and being able to sit with the situation, not controlling what it is, but really realizing that, you know, something is happening to you, if it's a layoff or a divorce, and being able to do more self-introspection about what you can do to be able to utilize that to propel yourself in a positive direction in the future. And to live life in line with values, recognizing the interrelatedness of all the dimensions and achieve a healthier balance in yourself. So, the learning outcomes. So here we're talking about the short-term outcomes that are hoped for the participants of the program, in that they will increase awareness of how stress influences their body, emotions, thoughts, and health behaviors, as well as participants increasing their knowledge of healthy strategies and skills to manage those stress levels. So those are kind of short-term things that you can take with you out the door within all of the different sessions. Then with the action outcomes, these are more the medium-term outcomes that will be from the completion of the information and being able to start to develop different habits. Participants will apply strategies and skills learned in the program into their daily lives to better manage stress levels. They will improve lifestyle behaviors, and they will be better able to take care of their overall health, including mental, physical, and spirit health, which we'll talk about those definitions in a minute. And conditions. So these are long-term intentions of outcomes from being able to utilize the content within the program. Improved participant stress levels, leading to improved management of current health conditions, as well as improved participant ability to take care of mental, physical, and spirit health, can prevent future health conditions, reduce healthcare use, lowering healthcare costs, and improving community well-being. So those are where we looked at kind of the short-term, medium-term, and long-term outcomes. And here, I won't read through all of these, but this is just information about what key concepts are laced throughout the different sessions. So some of them absolutely are themes that are repeated to kind of reemphasize and dig deeper within the weeks of some of the concepts, as well as different things that get introduced as time goes on. Any questions? After this, we're going to go a little bit into just some content of what it looks like within the first session.
Do you primarily see attending this way?
So far, it has mostly been staff and volunteers within like the helping profession in Kenosha County. So my hope with that was deliberate, just because when you have staff or people that are interfacing within social services or other helping professions, those are high stress, high turnover, lots of stuff going on positions. In my mind, after going through the training, helping them to better be able to manage that will overall help their ability to perform within their jobs, as well as to serve the clients and be able to interface with them. The second end of that is once the staff people have a better idea of what it is, they would be able to better help the clientele within the county understand and feel the desire to be able to attend to. So
primarily, is it just the health department, or are there other private agencies that you're working with?
Yes. So I finished with ELCA Outreach Center. So they are in the city, and they are a drop-in center for a lot of homeless people that are in kind of the central city, uptown area. So within their staff, it was to better help kind of with their own stress levels of kind of the interfacing and that, as well as working with the clientele and better being able to serve them. Later this week, I am doing this training this week and next week with the Kenosha County Economic Support Staff. So those are the folks that get people set up and maintained with food stamps, childcare subsidy, some of the child support staff, and then also in the fall, I'm hoping to be able to, so from our last PDAC meeting, when Tamara Coleman was here from the Shalom Center, she expressed interest in being able to bring this to her staff and volunteers, so I'm hoping to get that scheduled soon. And then in a general sense, I want to be able to open it up to other employees, whether it's private, nonprofit, or county-based, in the fall to do another open workshop again.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
And might I add that I might be interested in, this program has also been done throughout the state with farmers under stress, and it's had success, and I've talked to Mary about doing it this winter and fall as well, because we've had obviously very stressful season on top of many. So it has a lot of, it seems like it has a lot of applications with all sorts of different groups. And
yeah, and I think the nice thing about it is the adaptability, just because within Extension there is a separate, like, smaller work group that has been working around farm stress management, and this has been an element. I haven't been involved with it, but I would be able to get in contact to make sure that if there are adaptations that would make it more relevant and applicable for a farming community, that that would be known. So, yeah. But then too, in the future, if you guys have other suggestions, I mean, I'm still within the first year of utilizing this, so I'm still looking for audiences that I might not have thought of, or other things that, you know, could come about where there is interest. So definitely let me know. Okay, so this is where we're going to shift more into the content of some of the bigger elements that are laced throughout all of the sessions, and these specifically are within the first week. So what do we know about icebergs? Who can
90% is below water.
Absolutely. Yep.
They're very cold.
Yes. Yes.
So the Titanic.
Yes. Yes. The Titanic. That's usually the most famous iceberg. Yeah. So your point about 90% being underwater is absolutely true. So with this, it's an analogy of the iceberg of health is referred to as the health of yourself, where the majority of it is kind of beyond what's visual. So the tip of the iceberg, or what's sticking up above water, is really you at this moment. So this is where it is the physical presence that you present at any given time. Are you sick? Are you happy? Are you crying? Are you showing some sort of injury? It's kind of the being of you at this moment. But then it is that 90% that's underwater, when it's kind of looking beyond what is visible, and all of these layers that we'll talk about are the dimensions that then together make up you at this moment. So the first layer under the you at this moment is the physical, which is because it is closest to the surface of being visual. So with the physical layer, oftentimes we are looking at the result of genetics as well as lifestyle choices. So it is kind of everything that encompasses how you live, how you exist on a day-to-day basis that then impacts kind of your physical being. And that is made up of, when you think about the genetic side, there are absolutely things that you may be predisposed to that aren't really under your control. But then there's also the side where, with lifestyle behaviors, there are things that are within your control and are perhaps changeable in a positive or negative direction. Then when we go down, the mental health and social health are next to each other, more so because they're pretty intertwined when we start to look at it. So with mental health, it's not thinking about mental illness. It really is thinking about mental health in more of the realm of intellectual health and emotional health. So with the intellectual health end of it, it is the performance of mental functions or activities that kind of challenge your mind. Reading, writing, puzzles, different things, creating new ideas, those types of experiences. And with the emotional end of the mental health, it is that expression of emotion, feeling emotion, and being able to cope with the different emotions that you're having in most, hopefully in a healthy way, but kind of the way that you also cope with emotion. And then with the social health, does anyone have guesses of what that might entail?
Relationships.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So it, again, is ideally fulfilling relationships that you have with other people and, you know, who you choose to share life's joys with, letdowns with, and being able to enjoy conversations with other people, the relationships that you have with other people, and kind of the influences that you lean on when you need support. And then the bottom layer is the spirit health. So I am not excluded from this. When I first was in the training and I heard spirit health, I was like, oh, are we going to talk about religion? And that's definitely a facet of it for some people, but that's not the entire definition of when they're talking about spirit health. It really is more of kind of who you are at your core, a lot of your values, a lot of the things that drive you, that motivate you, and that you hold to then influence everything else. So when you think about, you know, what really is at your core, what's in your spirit, that will a lot of times drive, you know, who you socialize with, the activities that you do, and kind of the way that your physical being is represented. If your spirit's at a low point, you're probably not going to be as motivated to go ride bikes and run around and do activities and things like that. So to get into it a little bit more, with this, they are defining more information around the spirit health qualities. So these are some examples of what is full of spirit. So you're looking at all of these: hopeful, forgiving, self-accepting, and on down the line. And then also on the other end of the spectrum, of low in spirit, and some of those traits that you might experience or that you might have had at a point where you were low in spirit. Any questions about that? Sometimes that can be... Okay. So what parts have I not talked about in this little picture? Does anyone notice?
Culture or environment.
Yeah, so everything's swarming around the iceberg. So it has the graphic of the shark, more so just because it's talking about some of those environmental things that aren't in you but impact you. And it isn't to say that it's all negative, even though sharks are scary type of thing. It's just part of the picture. So with environment, a lot of that is kind of where you exist. Some of it's where you choose to exist, and some of it is just that we all live in Wisconsin, and that's the environment that we're in. Or you kind of narrow it in more about your neighborhood or where you spend your time because of where you work or where you play or socialize, things like that. And then culture is also the cultures or the other people that you spend your time with and how that can influence you as kind of all the dimensions of your health. So with this, So I'm going to pass this around just if anyone wants to take a look. These are the different handouts that are within the whole workshop as it is. So I'll just pass it around so people can take a look. So with the next portion, I'm going to give you guys a couple of handouts, and then I'm also going to ask you guys to mix up a little bit. So it's really going to be more discussion based. The first handout that is purple is going to be the iceberg. So this is information, definitions, explanations of everything that I just talked through, because it wasn't on the screen and I went through it pretty quickly just so that you have the backing of information. The second piece of it is more example-based of within all of those different dimensions, the physical, mental, social, and spirit, examples of different activities or suggestions or things that you can do to be able to enhance those different layers or dimensions of yourself. Thanks. So the instructions for this, you won't have to write anything down. It's not like an assignment. It's really just going to be a conversation. I will ask that everyone find a partner, and if you could, try to mix up a little bit and work with someone maybe that you haven't worked with before that you don't know as well. And utilizing kind of the information and definitions within the purple sheet, as well as some of the examples that you see on the blue sheet, just have a quick conversation about the questions that are up here now. So if you can't think of anything, that's fine. It's really just more to be able to think through it and process through the information. So with your partner, just talk about which dimension or dimensions have you in the past or currently struggled with, and how did this affect other dimensions, and also what dimension have you spent too much time in the past, and also what compromise did you make, and what can be done to improve or nourish a dimension that you struggle with. So I'll leave these up here, and I'll let you guys either find a partner or group of three.
This is pretty deep.
You gotta reach.
What, share here?
Reach within.
We need a safe space.
I mean, even when I've thought about this myself, for example, so if I think about, like, what dimension have you spent too much time in the past, my mind went to, like, when I was in college or a young adult, like, my social health was great. I was very much putting an emphasis on spending time with my friends and going out and making sure that, you know, any invitation I would jump on, and for lack of my physical health because I wasn't sleeping as much or taking care of myself. So it could be things like that, or it could be something that you're kind of grappling with currently. Or if you can't think of anything, maybe your partner will have a bright idea that will help spur you on. So we'll just take a few minutes to do that if you can.
Come on over, Lee.
Okay.
You want to
hear about all my emotional baggage? How much time do we have?
Yeah, right. Just take about 5 minutes. So just do a real glossy version of it.
Can I work with you?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've heard
Hey, does anyone have a really good example of their own, or only if you have authority to share someone else's, that they would like to share with the group?
See, it was too deep.
Okay, that's totally fine too. Just wanted to offer it out if anyone had like an epiphany or an aha.
I just want to share, we had similar themes, which is in our social health, that things shift over time.
Yes.
In our roles and the nature of our relationships due to outside circumstances. Mm-hmm. Like when my kiddos were younger, I was friends with all of their parents, and now that they drive, I look at a lot of those people and I'm like, I would not really choose,
sure,
like to, and they might not choose to hang around with me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to go find some new friends. So that's enlightening, but
yeah,
just due to other, so there's always the cultural or environmental and time and situational influence.
Absolutely.
It's very important. This all shifts all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's going back to when it's the you at this moment. So it's not like a you forever type of thing. So it is something that's flexible, that's changeable in a good direction or a bad direction, which I think is an important piece to stress to people, just because if they're at a tough time in their life or feeling kind of hopeless or whatever the case may be, to recognize it, this isn't like a forever type of thing. It's a at this moment, and then looking a little bit deeper about what it is that you would like to or how it would change if you were to put that effort in. All right, and then the last thing that I would just, well, not the last thing, but the last content thing that I wanted to just share a little bit is, this is another big theme within the program of the concept, and then more using the triangle of awareness. When we think about this, it relates more to when you're feeling stress or you're upset or angry, starting to have more awareness of what that looks like. So if it's the body sensations, does your face get flushed? Or does your eye start to twitch the morning of and you don't even realize that something stressful is happening? Or that, you know, you kind of shake your leg a lot and it's just a tick that you do. Or, you know, different types of body sensations.
I'm always shaking my leg.
Different types of body sensations. Is that where your first glimpse or glimmer of that stress starting to creep on? Is that where it exists? Or is it emotions? Do you start to get really snappy at people? Or you just kind of turn inwards and you get really quiet? Or is it your thoughts that you start to jump to all these conclusions, or you have all these scenarios in your head, or it's racing thoughts? Encouraging people to have more recognition about where that stress enters for them helps them to take note of it, start to see those patterns, and then in the weeks going on, really emphasizing their ability and starting to practice responding instead of reacting. And some of that goes more into kind of how the brain reacts to stress and all of the ways that you are and aren't in control of that at times. But then if there is that more awareness about how it manifests in you, being able to take a step back when you start to feel the heart palpitations, or you take a step back when you realize you've been fighting with everyone in your family. Different things like that. We're not going to do this since I won't see you guys next week, unfortunately, but I just wanted to give you this last bit of information. So from the discussion that we would have about this triangle and starting to key into what the different ways each of us individually enter into stress is the taking note of stressful situations. So at the end of every session, it's kind of like a challenge or homework, or just try to keep this in the back of your mind until we see each other again. And this one in particular.
I like you use the word challenge instead of homework.
Yeah. You like that? Exactly. Yeah, adults don't like the word homework either. So.
It's not homework, it's a challenge.
Exactly. So with this, the ask is for you to start taking note of stressors in your life. And it could be day-to-day things like you get stuck in a train, you have to wait in line at the grocery store, or it can be more significant things like someone in your family gets laid off or has an injury or an illness. And then taking note of how it looks in you. And maybe these are things that you have or haven't been clued into personally, but really just honing in, and this is kind of your assignment, for lack of a better word, it helps people have more awareness about it. And then at the beginning of the next session, we'll talk about all of that and how it looked for people, and if there are things that they noticed or things that manifested that they just didn't realize in the past. Okay, so the last thing is we're gonna do a quick exercise together. So another element of all of the different sessions are helping people to understand how breathing is so important and how they are able to use these different exercises everywhere, anytime, because your breath is always with you. So for this, all you have to do is...
Rodriguez Aquino.
He wants to breathe too.
Bring him in.
Everyone's invited.
That's right.
So all you have to do is you just have to breathe and focus on your breath, and you have to count your breaths. So I'm going to time it so you don't have to worry about the time. It will be for 60 seconds, so just 1 minute. All you have to do is one breath in and one breath out is one, and then just keep track of your total breaths in the 60 seconds, and then when the alarm goes, it's done. So one breath in and one breath out is one, two, you know, just keep going like that. So I will let you know when to start, and I will let you know when to stop. It's not a contest. Just breathe naturally. Breathe fully in and out. So find a comfortable spot in your chair. If you're comfortable, you can close your eyes. Otherwise, just gaze down.
At least it's only a minute. My wife makes me do this for five.
Okay, so you're a master at it. So yeah, just 60 seconds. So just count the number of breaths that you take in this time That's all you have to do right now is focus on your breath and keep track of the number. Okay, so we will... We will start now. So everyone have their number? Okay. So this is an example of something that we do all together and that I also encourage people to take with them, because now if they know their number was 12 or 14 or whatever it was, you don't need a clock, you don't need a stopwatch, you can just sit somewhere, count out 12 breaths or whatever your number is, know that's 60 seconds out of your day, but it helps you to refocus and to calm and to do the deep breathing that will help kind of bring those stress hormones or levels back down if you're starting to feel it ramping up. Other things that we do within the different weeks are a body scan, where it's just kind of talking through awareness of your whole body, three cycle breathing, one cycle breathing, so things that are very quick and transferable, as well as an exercise about mindful eating. So that is what I have for today. Any last questions?
Boy, that one of my papers only had. Blue one's supposed to have two sides.
Oh, yeah, it is. For the blue one. Oh, I'm sorry. So if. Oh, also, with any of the handouts, you are absolutely welcome to take them. If you are not interested, leave them on the table because I will recycle them on Friday. Thank you.
Do we get to share our number? I don't
know how many breaths. Oh, I mean, you can. There's not a right or wrong answer.
Well, I have 14. I want to know. Let's go around you. So, 7? Fake news. Don't buy it.
10.
10.
Deadpan.
I had 12.
I've had 12 when I did this.
9.
14. 8.
Damn.
See, you and Lee get a lot of stress.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stress.
Well, I mean, can't breathe through my nails right now. So yes.
Muscle action. Surrounded by...
Oh,
gosh.
Too funny. Probably young, no kids.
No stress.
But now you know, you have that number, so that can go with you in the car or anywhere else that you go. Thanks.
Thank you.
So is the higher number wins?
There are no winners or losers. It's
there's always winners.
I just want to know, like, what the CoE
number is. He's a millennial.
Is.
He's used to participating.
What's a trophy?
I'm a Gen X.
He's a Gen X.
You are not a Gen X.
You're a Gen Z.
You're
a Z. A Gen Z.
That's a millennial.
No, millennials are.
Millennials like free life.
Oh, yeah.
Like mid-90s. I grabbed in from like that.
It is, it is.
96, 97 to like 2003. Arguably the best.
Yes, some of these around.
Oh.
Arguably.
Oh. Never heard that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is for my section.
Oh.
They say it because their parents make it. It's the best. Free food.
They're a legend in their own minds.
Yes. Yes.
are two more of your Gen Zs if you're going to do that.
Okay, so I think we still have a few more. You want to do some quick updates on what's
going
on? Sure.
I'll keep it very brief. Next month, Amy and I are going to be talking about workforce development. So I'll talk about just quickly a couple of the other projects. I think I shared with you all that we had a student partnership with a Parkside class in the spring looking at the Creative Economy Strategic Plan. And the important part about that is it was a success with the partnership, and we were really excited that all of the students had these community-based projects with different Kenosha-based organizations. So they got real-world experience in addition to their coursework, and the organizations that they worked with got free labor. So that was a great success. And then moving forward, we have the opportunity extension working with Parkside and other community-based opportunities. So that's more opportunities for students coming into Kenosha or from Kenosha to have real life experience in the community. I appreciated the feedback I got from you on the Recycle Guide website earlier this year, and we used the website as a resource to promote the household hazardous waste, as you know, and thank you, Supervisor Decker, for your participation at the event. It was a beautiful day, and we had the highest turnout that we've had since the event started, so that's a really big thing.
How much did they collect?
That I don't know. We had the most vehicles coming in. It was over 900.
I was wondering. I threw a freezer on the right, strapped it down, got on the interstate. So, came out here. No, it didn't fly out.
Didn't fall off.
I had to drive halfway here.
That's how they dispose of stuff in the city. They just kind of loosely tie it on and start driving. Where she ends, nobody knows. But it becomes somebody else's issue.
Okay, well, I will report on busy June and July. We wrapped up our tractor safety program, which we had a big turnout this year, 25 kids running around driving tractors, working around the rain. It was tough, but we pulled it off, and it was a good program. Everybody had a good time, no crying, no... Well, there was some crying.
Was that you or?
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. There was one crying.
Because why? Were you
backing,
really mean?
No, it was the backing up of the hay wagon. Part of the test.
Yeah.
Oh, I would cry.
That sucks. How many times I've attempted to do that? That is so hard.
So, but
that was
actually before
you get kids to do that.
That was actually before the test days, and on the test everything was fine. So we just had a breakthrough, and then it was fine.
Kids do that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
What age group?
12 to
16.
Yeah.
Don't you feel
it? Don't feel bad, Rob.
Yeah.
See what they do out here.
But you know what? You know
he's
what?
Gonna start crying next.
You know what? I do know. I know two farmers in particular that to this day cannot do it. And they're like in their 60s.
Yeah.
They can't.
It's tough, and we're pretty. There's a lot of kind of redos.
Now,
it's not like real strict.
Are you allowed to get out, grab the tongue, and do it?
Definitely.
I've done that. I've been to doing that.
Yeah. But it was a fun program. Everybody left with smiles. That's all that matters. We also had a meeting for local farmers to kind of update them on the options that they have. For planting cover crops, for forage for the year, crop insurance changes, what we've learned about the market facilitation program, which is coming out to kind of help bolster farmers from all the tariff business going on. So that was a good meeting, a lot of good discussion. We had crop insurance agents, bankers, and farmers there to kind of help get farmers, this is a really tough year for decision making, and we've got a lot of really stressed out farmers. So that was good, just at the very least, just to get people together. And then coming up, we've got a invasive species management program that we're hosting next week on the 17th here at the Kenosha County Center. That's for municipalities and the public to learn about effective ways to manage the problematic invasives that we have here. So we've got a workshop portion, and then we also have demonstration sites, one along Highway K and then one just here on 45, demonstrating some different ways that people can manage teasel in particular, which is problematic around here.
What's teasel?
It's like, it looks like the kind of bottle brush, like top.
Oh,
it's like a brown.
It's invading the wetlands?
Yep. It's you'll see it, the ditches along 50
okay.
are just chock full of it. And then we've also got a prairie walk coming up on July 23rd. That'll be up in Burlington. Yeah, that should be good. And then I'll be up at Farm Technology Days in Jefferson County that same week. We have an extension tent and cover crop demonstrations, things like that. So if you're able to make it up to Jefferson County for Farm Tech Days, it's always a fun time.
What if any, are they doing more like new types of crops? Like hemp is really going to start to take off here now. Is there any information coming out on that?
Yep, we actually have hired within Extension a first kind of person that's dedicated to hemp research. We have a webinar coming up. We've had multiple webinars for people. So we've had people that can actually come to the county center here, and then I show the webinar for them. They can ask live questions to the speakers. We've got one coming up August 7th, I think. But yeah, hemp has been, I've been getting a ton of questions on hemp. So, but the thing is, there's not a lot of information out there right now in terms of pesticides, fertilization, it's all across the board. So there's a lot of bad information out there, a lot of good information, but not a lot of research-based information. So that's why we need to invest
in research. That takes years to develop.
It does. And we're using varieties that have come from Kentucky, Canada, so it's just trying to figure out what works in Wisconsin has been,
right. I'll keep it quick. Summer programming is in full swing. We have in Kenosha County groups at SOLA, several youth groups. We're doing youth groups at ELCA Outreach Center as well. New partnerships with Lincoln Middle School with teens, so that's kind of exciting. We haven't taught a lot of teens historically, but this new curriculum is great. It's giving them hands-on cooking skills. And through our partnership with Kenosha County Children and Family Services, through their program called Families First, which serves families whose youth members have, they've identified additional social and emotional needs for their kiddos. So they have like wraparound family services to help those families and youth be successful. That's been a great partnership, so we're super excited. June, I facilitated a training at Journey Church here in Kenosha through the One Hope Food Pantry. That's a relatively newer food pantry for 22 volunteers. It was sort of short but sweet. And our main sort of focus with this one, and we've scheduled additional work with them in the future, is moving from the mentality of food pantries giving as much food to as many people as possible to thinking more about the nutrient density of food. What is this person's process? Are there other systems and ways for them to get food with integrity versus we win because we gave the most pounds of food? So we're trying to reduce the competition in food pantries, which is surprisingly large. And I think parent series is ongoing for child care providers. And they get free continuing education credit hours, which they need for to keep their certification current. And that's through Four C's for Children. We get folks from both Racine and Kenosha County. That's good luck.
All right. So in your email this afternoon was our quarterly report, so you can take a closer look at that. And I just passed around a couple of things. One is, this is the brochure from the state that talks about the six different institutes that we now have with our restructuring. And then Nancy Ritana then took that information and created our annual report based on the results that we've had. So again, you see the six institutes kind of replicated and what's happening within each of those. And then obviously on the last page is the staff that we currently have in working in Kenosha County. So there's quite a team here now. If you have any feedback on the annual report before we finalize it, I think there's one edit we still have from this afternoon. But then typically we'd like to share it with the county board, and if you have any other suggestions of where we would share it as well, let me know.
Is that all?
That's it, yeah.
Okay. Let us